Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear congregation, we've come upon, I believe, a very important text in our consideration of the Gospel according to Mark this morning. A passage which I believe we truly need to understand in order to properly instruct and teach our children. It will impact, I trust, our own lives as well as the lives of our children when we rightly understand what Jesus is saying to us by the Spirit in this passage. Children, I hope you this morning too listen very carefully to God's Word. God's Word is given to us. It has very many and important things to say. True, there are many things perhaps you don't understand. There are many things I don't understand either. But that should not keep you or me from searching the very simple things that are set before us that we do understand. Already when you're a little boy, a little girl, it is so important for you to begin to understand and ask God to teach you. What is He saying to you in His Word? What is He calling you to do? Parents, I think that Matthew Henry has summarized this passage very well when he says these words. It is well when we come to Christ ourselves and bring our children. Little children may be brought to Christ as needing and being capable of receiving blessing from Him and having an interest in His intercession. We can but beg a blessing for them. Christ only can command the blessing. It is well for us that Christ has more love and tenderness in Him than the best of His disciples have. And let us learn of Him not to discountenance any well-meaning, willing souls in their seeking after Christ, though they are but weak. Those who are given to Christ as part of His purchase, He will in no wise cast out. Therefore, He takes it ill of all who forbid and try to shut out those whom He has received. And all Christians should bring their children to the Savior that He may bless them with spiritual blessing. And then we would do well, I think, to take heed also to the reformer Brucer, who says, if we do not extend the greatest pains and efforts in bringing our children up to obey Christ, then we are guilty of robbing God of His children. In effect, we hand them over to Satan. And with this in mind, let us turn to the passage we're considering with God's help this morning in Mark 10. I want to read the verses we will consider from verse 13 to 16. These words, Mark 10. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. This morning I want to consider views of Jesus. First, we want to look at it from the perspective of Jesus' view of children. And then secondly, we want to look at our view of Jesus. So views of Jesus. First, what's Jesus' view of children? And secondly, what's our view of Jesus? Again, I say to you, we have a wonderful portion to consider in this history before us this morning, congregation and children. Jesus has just spoken to the multitudes who had gathered again. He's gone out into the public arena and has begun to speak. And one of the first things which he is going to be addressing was marriage, and we considered that last time. And of course, the natural result of marriage, one of the things we deal with in life, is children that come forth from marriage. And then soon in this chapter, we'll follow on to consider how we view our possessions in this life. And so what's happening here in this passage? Well, Mark has told us, and we learned that from the other gospel writers as well, that there were some parents, and from the language of the Greek, we can assume that there were both fathers and mothers who were bringing their children to Jesus. And the reason they wanted to bring their children to Jesus, we are told, is because they wanted Jesus to bless them. They wanted Jesus to lay His hands upon them and pray for them. It would seem to us, I trust, that these parents had a right understanding of what they were doing. They understood how needy and dependent they were as parents upon Christ and His blessing of their children and themselves. I would trust even we would understand it to be that these parents had tasted something of the grace of Christ themselves. And so they go to Jesus with the very same desire and longing that He would be the Savior and Messiah of their children too. And so they bring their children to Jesus. There must have been quite a multitude of people who are coming to do this. And it was near a very Gentile area as well. And the disciples, seeing this, that Jesus was now being hindered, they thought, in His more important work of ministering to the people of Israel as well as teaching the people, they were hindering these children from coming to Jesus. In their imagination, it seems, they thought Jesus really didn't have time for these children. They weren't really all that important to Jesus. And the message that's being conveyed through His own disciples is that Jesus doesn't have time for you. He doesn't really care about you. Now, Jesus was a rabbi and a teacher. And so these disciples consider that Jesus, being this rabbi and teacher, has more important things to do than to spend time with children. What do you think? Maybe you think, too, well, what's the use of taking children, infants, who don't always sit so still in the worship service? What's the point of taking them here to hear God's Word? Perhaps they won't understand most of the words that are spoken anyway. Perhaps if the disciples had considered these parables and then the meaning behind the parables that Jesus was talking about, they would say, well, who of these children would understand? And so these disciples are hindering these children and the parents who are bringing them to Jesus. And we see different words used for these children, so we can't really tell for sure how old they were. Some of the gospel writers talk about infants, Luke for example. Others talk about those who are a little older, perhaps in their early teens even. So there's a wide range of children that are being brought to Jesus. And you can almost paint the picture in your mind about this scene as Jesus has sat down to teach the people and these parents are trying to bring their children to Jesus. Maybe several of them waiting outside the door and the disciples are standing there telling them to just wait and to stay away because Jesus is busy. And they're turning the children away from Jesus. Are you, am I, turning children away from Jesus. Are there those here, perhaps, even parents of children, who, because of their own lives, not perhaps by their words, but by the very way in which we live our life day to day, the message that's being communicated to our children speaks volumes and much louder than all the words we muster at mealtime and at devotions. The message we convey to our children is the message that they were getting from the disciples: Jesus doesn't have time for you. This world is more important right now. Later in life, we'll get to that. We'll pay lip service to what we know we need, but to live that way, well, that is another story entirely. Parents, are we communicating to our children our delight, our joy, our life is found in service to Jesus? Do our children both hear and see in our lives that He, this one who is set before us in this text, is the one we have come to love, come to serve, come to adore? Maybe you say, well, I am teaching my children. I'm communicating to them the truths of the Scriptures. I'm teaching our children to pray. I teach them to read the Bible. I take them when I can twice to church. I teach them how to tithe their money and to take care of things in life. I tell them the need they have to repent and to believe in Jesus. I commend you in this. But does your life say different? If you are outside of Jesus Christ, what's the message your children are getting? They too will seek delays. They too will see this disobedience. They too will see this refusal on your part to surrender as dependent, helpless sinners before Christ the Savior. Listen to the words of Puritan Edward Payson. He says, "A chain in the hand of a demon would not more irresistibly drag them, our children, to ruin than the example of an irreligious parent. For to his parents, more than to all others, does a child look for direction. During the first years of life, while his character is forming and most lasting impressions made, he considers their sayings as oracles, their word as law, their opinions as the dictates of unerring wisdom, and their conduct as a pattern he's to imitate. How powerfully, then, must the example of those parents who neglect to come to Christ themselves tend to prevent and discourage their children from approaching Him. Not to mention that by refusing to devote themselves to Christ, they put it out of their power to dedicate their children to Him and thus deprive them of all blessings which would result from such a dedication made in the exercise of faith." Parents and grandparents, if our children and grandchildren see us living for this world, never speaking of Christ, paying no attention in sermons, or falling asleep constantly, what are we communicating through our lives? Are we communicating about the service of Christ? Indeed, there are those parents too who profess to serve Christ, and yet for some reason they are not like the parents in this history. They are not bringing their children to Jesus. It could be for a variety of reasons. Some parents assume that their children are automatically found in the arms of Christ, that they're safe and secure, they've been baptized, they're children of the King and going to glory, and that's what they teach them and tell them. There's other parents who make the confession of Christ, and yet in their lives they have one foot in the world and one foot, seemingly, in Christ. And children get confused views of what it means to serve the Lord. And there are other parents too who are purposefully putting stumbling blocks before their children, who publicly and in the gathering of their families question the purposes of God. Question His Word, His love, His mercy, His worthiness of being served. And all this is dreadfully worse than those too who instill this very same spirit into their children as they have themselves. And then there are parents who have misunderstandings about Jesus and His view of children. And I find there are two major ditches into which religious people fall. On the one hand, there are those who believe that God loves each one of their children savingly, that they somehow, in this way of bringing them into the covenant, that there is no call to repentance and faith in Christ. They are automatically on the road and in the process of going to glory. We know that the Scriptures do not teach this to be the case. Yet some parents, indeed, in this world, and Christians who seek to train their children in this very way. God loves you. God has saved you, has already called you and set you apart in a saving way. Nothing is spoken about the need for repentance or faith or regeneration. But these parents in this history, they didn't believe that. They knew their children needed Jesus. But on the other hand, which I think is likely a more common problem among us, the opposite ditch, viewing children, and I've heard it said, as baptized heathens. I could imagine our Lord's response Himself in indignation and anger to such a very comment when such things would be said. Children who are brought up in the homes of believing parents in the covenant community of the church have been set apart indeed by God. They have special blessings and privileges. And we don't need to presume anything about them, whether they be saved or not saved. We are called as parents to teach them the Scriptures and the need they have for Christ, and to bring them, as these parents did, to Jesus. This passage indicates to us that those, as believers, who bring their children to Christ have great cause for expectation for their children. These parents who would disciple and nurture their children given to them of God, as they are called to do, with their eye upon Jesus and depending on Him, well, one day, though they perhaps today sow in tears, shall reap with joy And then when we teach our children, parents, it's not for us to determine, is that the Lord's work or not? It's our task to be faithful in the instruction of our children, to teach them the Scriptures. It's this very word that the Spirit uses to take home to their hearts. And God, in His marvelous providence, has already separated them apart from this world. And our task as parents is to point them to this God, to this same Savior, Jesus. Pointing out the need they have for repentance and faith in Him, teaching them of the promises of God which are set before them and laid before them. And we don't need to do this without hope, but with a confident expectation that we're not looking to ourselves, but to Jesus. Or maybe you ask, well, then how are we to view our children? Well, what does Jesus say about them? What does He do with them in this passage? And I think in answering that question, we have an idea of what Jesus thinks of children. And ultimately, looking at Jesus, we have an answer as to what God thinks of children. Jesus' view of children was much greater than His disciples' view. Jesus insists that these children be allowed to come to Him, that they actually be brought to Him. If there was any hindrance to bringing these children to Jesus, He was displeased. He says, suffer, permit these children, these little children, to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I wonder if we perhaps think of the children in the congregation as somehow second-class citizens in the kingdom of God in the church. We presume, how could God be at work in these children? That doesn't happen till they get older and begin to understand things better. Maybe in their teens, probably 20s, when they can come to acknowledge the things of the Lord. That's later. But that's not what Jesus is saying. What is Jesus saying? He is saying, suffer the little children to come to Me, for of such, these very children, is the kingdom of heaven. Where do we get the idea that somehow it's only later in life that people come to faith? Is it simply from the things we maybe observed, or is it something we learn from the Scriptures? Well, the only place we can accurately turn is to the Word, not to some observation. And Jesus is saying, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. That was His view of children. Is it ours? This will impact how you teach, instruct, and train the children God has given to us. How do you view your children? And we know we can't look into the hearts of our children. We can't see if they're elect or not. We can't see if they're truly repenting or believing or not. But these parents couldn't either. That was not the issue here. And the way it's worded in the gospel is the same kind of phrase that they brought their children to Jesus. It's the same kind of phrase that's used to all these people who are sick, those people who are having children nearly dying. When they brought them to Jesus, the same word is used. Actually, it's the same word that's used when it's spoken of bringing offerings to the Lord. These parents bringing their children was an act of worship. They brought to Jesus their children, realizing how much their children and they needed Him. They wanted Jesus to do for their children what they could not do themselves. And when we consider that in our lives, by our words, by our actions, we are either bringing our children to Jesus, or we are bringing them to the gods of this world. And when we bring them to the gods of this world and seek to train them in the things of this life, we are offering them in sacrifice to Moloch. They shall die. They may seem to prosper and succeed for a time, but there's coming a day when they will be cut off. And though they were grafted, as it were, into the vine, even through their very birth, into the church, into the covenant, they shall be cut off. Disobedient children. Because too of disobedient parents. Do we bring our children as these parents to Him? Now we need to remember at the time that this is being written, what place children held in society. Children, I think, today hold too high a place in many respects in our lives. Too much freedom. Children have too much to say. It's quite the opposite in Jesus' day. The view of children was quite low. They were quite insignificant. They were hardly considered of any value and worth. No one hardly would pay attention to children. They really had no importance. It only as you got older and had a probability of getting a job and working for bringing an income that you had any value and purpose in life. But as we saw already a few weeks ago, it is Jesus who comes to help the poor, the needy, the helpless of society. And so we see that children in particular are very dependent on others. They need the care and attention of those around them. And so what Jesus is saying is very practical and very revealing. He says, these children of such is the kingdom of God. Of God, as much as it is for older ones. Jesus is not by that statement minimizing the need that children have to come to repentance, to come to faith, the need of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to bless the means of grace to their hearts. He's not minimizing any of those things. But he is simply setting forth what happened in the life of Timothy. As here his grandmother and mother taught him in the way of the Word, brought him up in the knowledge and instruction of the Scriptures, and God pleased to bless this means to his heart and to his salvation. And parents who have tasted of Christ and His salvation, they understand, they know, they realize the pressing need their children have for God's grace. They have this need for His blessing and intercession. But such parents also realize we don't need to wait and wait till they're teens and then even older before we could expect the Lord our God to take home these truths to their hearts. And it's not because we are so much better or have done so much faithful instruction that God is pleased to bless us. Not because we are worthy or our children are worthy, but it's precisely because Jesus' view of children is of such is the kingdom of heaven. And throughout the Scriptures, we find time and again that we as parents are called to teach, instruct, to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord our children. Why? Because God will bless it to the saving of their souls. So we, as parents, ought to be instant, in season and out of season, setting before our children the truths of the Word of God, pleading on the promises. Also, we saw last week. And rising off our knees in utter dependence upon God, we set ourselves by His grace to labor. Children, you don't have to wait till you're teenagers to understand what sin is. You who are younger this morning and are listening, you know what sin is. You have some idea about what it means to have guilt in your heart. You feel bad about what you do against God when you tell lies, when you take things that don't belong to you, when you realize that God created you to do what's right and good. And you know that you can turn to God in prayer. And you can cry to Him. And He hears. You can tell Him all about your heart and your sinfulness, your troubles, your cares, your being afraid, and your need to be washed in His blood. You know what it means to trust someone. You grow in that understanding as you're 5, 6, 7 years old. You know what it means to trust mom and dad. That they're not going to hurt you. They're going to care for you. And so the same you must know is true about Jesus. In a far greater way. You may trust in Him. You may look to Him. You ought to listen to His Word when it's read, when it's spoken. Now, for some, maybe this sounds too simple and too easy. Maybe it even sounds a bit childish. But I trust you will agree with me that God does work in children. And when He does so, they don't immediately become theologians and understand everything. No, God uses the instruction, the faithful instruction, especially of believing parents, in the lives of children. Because they bring His Word. And He promises to bless with His Spirit. It's this Word, therefore, parents, that we are called to teach and to use in the lives of our children. Looking to the Lord for blessing. And that's indeed why we sit here this morning as families. We don't have a separate Sunday school for some of those who maybe can't sit still so long. But here we hear the words of God. People coming together to worship. People coming to use the sacraments. And all that we see, all that we observe, the songs we unitedly sing, the scriptures we read together, the reactions of people we see in the congregation, all this the children who are sitting here are observing and they pay attention. And they will grow up to be the children. Of the church, of the world. And so what we speak about in our homes, about the worship services, about the people and servants of God, what we say in front of our children leaves deep impressions in their hearts and minds. Our children observe how much attention and devotion and service we give to God, His Word. They know how important His Word is to us. Do our children have this sense? Mom and Dad are captivated by the Word, by this Jesus whom these parents brought their children to. I know of really hardly any home at all where there is coolness towards the things of God and toward His people where the children's attitudes are different than the parents. Here we see the importance of teaching the children the Word. And I cannot stress with you enough this importance and the need we have to teach them, and that God promises to bless it. How much? Just think about how much time and energy are you as parents pouring into your children? Spending money for this, buying that, promoting this, sending off to college there and university. But their souls and their attentiveness and their relation to the Word of God. Do we perhaps have more in likeness to these disciples, and we are hindering children, then we are like these parents who, in all simplicity and urgency, brought their children to Jesus. What a blessing when the Lord will use the instruction of a parent who has taught their child. But it may be said of a child, they have known the Scriptures and have walked in the way of His Word. Such parents who have been used of God in this way are not ready to stand out in the forefront and say, "Look what I did." But they bow in adoration and worship the Lord even more. And they continue. Not when they see little convictions happening in the lives of their children. Not when they're speaking to them, when they're putting to bed, or at the times of devotion, they hear them talk about the questions they have, the convictions they have, and they don't just kind of let it see what will happen. No, they have been urging on. They've been pressing on. And they speak day after day after day in ways that the Lord leads, the ways that the Lord teaches. What a blessing it would be for many children among us that as they grow into their teen years and later into young adulthood, that they would be able to say, I can't really speak of a specific moment, but the Lord has been teaching and instructing and drawing my heart and leading me into a sense and knowledge of myself and drawing me into the work of Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Mediator. I delight to walk in His ways. Oh, I find much corruption. But the Lord already in my young heart has taught me many time and time again, He is worthy to depend upon. He is the one I can trust. Is this what we expect in our lives of our children? Or do we only have the expectation, well, we teach them when they're young, and maybe sometime when they're old, something will happen? That is not Jesus' view of children. It will not matter on the day of judgment if we can tell the day or hour of our conversion. But whether or not we are in Jesus Christ by faith, whether we have grown up into this understanding and knowledge by God's grace and His Spirit, or there has come a time like Paul on the way to Damascus, powerfully wrought upon by God. But if we are not a new creature in Christ Jesus, if we through our lives are not drawn more and more to Christ and trust in Him and lean on Him and turn from sin and have not repented of the evil of our hearts and flesh, no matter what we say, we need to look at our hearts and our lives, whether we are in Christ. It will be evident when such young souls have a work of the Spirit upon them. Does that mean, though, they won't have struggles, or that they'll be perfect, or they won't play with their toys anymore? Not at all. Their life will be in its simplicity as a child. Also, Romans 7. But as a parent, when they have come to you and spoken to you about the things of God and the convictions they have and their drawings to Christ, what will you say? Where will you lead them? And we don't need to lay our hand and pronounce God's blessing upon them. Christ does that. We may lead them again and again, as these parents did, to Him. And Jesus' view of children we hear this morning is that He is willing and ready to bless them. And that applies as much today as then. And I find it remarkable that the words in our passage indicate that the people were coming to Jesus one after the other, and Jesus individually is taking them, putting them on His lap, laying His hands upon them, and blessing them, and praying to His Father in heaven for them. And tell me, what do you think Jesus would pray for? That these children would have a good life? That they'd live to be a grand old age? That they would have no hardships and sicknesses? That they'd be prosperous? I think not. Rather, I think he prayed his Father would bless them indeed. Spiritual life. Forgiveness of sins, graces of the Spirit. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. But having said that, Jesus knew that these parents had brought these children to Him and would also take these children back home. And He entrusted to them the teaching of His Word and to bring the Word to them again and again. And so the question we face this morning, in light of Jesus' view of children, are you keeping children from Jesus? I realize Christ deals with all manner of sinners. He does deal with older ones as well. Here is a small window we are given amazingly into this life and history of Jesus for our instruction. The passage in front of us this morning is asking us the question, how am I perhaps hindering children from coming to Christ? Are we bringing our children to Him? Do we have the same view as Christ had of children? When our children come to us and they speak to us about something they did wrong, and they're feeling that guilt, that sin, they're asking questions about who is God, where is He, how do I know I can be saved, or that I am saved, what does it mean to be saved? You can ask them, why do you think you need to be saved? See what they know about their understanding of sin, why they are feeling this distance between them and God. Ask them how they think a child or a person would be saved. Ask them what sin is and how can God deliver us from sin. See what their understanding is so you can lead them and teach them and bring them to Jesus. You see, in asking questions to our children, we will further understand what's going on in their hearts. And do not think then that you need to put words of prayer in their lips. When the work of the Spirit is evident in a child's heart and you say, well, let's pray now, it will come out. What they have understood and learned and know. Do you also, in those moments, storm God's throne of mercy and grace? Do you give guidance from the Word of God? And I remind you, when you have a child come to you and you yourself are going to teach them in the way of repentance and faith. But all you have is a mental, outward understanding. How are you going to teach your children? This is the way, walk in it. When you're walking this way. Do you think that God is able to work also in the hearts of your children? Do you believe that He promises to be among the children of believers and in the church? And that He blesses them with spiritual blessings? Or do you simply think that this passage I am misinterpreting? The only thing why Jesus takes these children is to set them forth as some kind of example. You need to be like these children. He'll get to that in verse 15, but that's not what He's saying in verse 14. He is saying in verse 14, "Suffer these little children to come to Me, forbid them not, for of such." These very children is the kingdom of God. Have you thought about children, what it must have been for these boys and girls who were brought to Jesus? And He came and He took them in His arms. He laid His hands on them in a kind and gentle, loving way. Blessed them. Prayed for them. He knew what was in these little children's hearts. He knew that they were guilty of sin. He knew that they had dirty hearts. But do you see what Jesus wanted? He wanted these children to come to Him, and He calls them to Himself, just as He does even today. He calls children, "Come to Me. Look to Me. Pray to Me. Trust in Me. Learn of Me." And all that learning and understanding and knowing of Jesus does not come in a day. Doesn't come in a church service in 1 hour. But it comes by turning again and again to the Bible and to listening to the instruction from your parents and asking God, "Teach me. Lead me. Help me. Save me." Because we realize how dependent we are on Him. And that is our second thought. But so we've seen something of Jesus' view of children. He wants to be with them. He wants to bless them. He wants them to be brought to Him, to come to Him. He delights in saving them. Children. But the disciples don't understand this. In this very moment, as in various times, they were acting like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, we know, had distorted God's character and God's grace. They made God to be someone He was not. What they taught and what they lived about God was not according to what was revealed in the Scriptures. And what the disciples are doing here in closing the door to these parents and their children is the same. They're misrepresenting God and His character and distorting His grace. And this, justly, gives rise to anger in the heart of Jesus. He is greatly displeased. And so by the words and the actions of these disciples, they were communicating to these parents and the children, "Jesus doesn't have time for you. He's too busy for you. That's not important for you right now. Maybe older. This isn't what Jesus is like. Jesus is angry. Indignation. He is displeased." What are your thoughts of
of Jesus.
What are your thoughts of His promises regarding you and your children? Does He mean what He says? When He says, "Come to Me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," does He mean what He says? Do you believe that if you would come to Him trusting in Him, that He in fact would save and forgive and give you rest? Do you believe that in taking your children to Him, that He will bless them? Have you taken your children as soon as you know you have conceived in the womb, and have you laid them, as it were, and brought them already then to Jesus, knowing you're bringing forth into this world a human soul that only receives from you sin and taints throughout their whole being, pollution of sin? And you're sighing to the Lord, was, "Lord, undertake for me and for my child, this child Thou hast given." Do you realize, parents, that your hope, my hope, our children's hope is in God alone, in Christ alone? Is this our view of Jesus? Notice what He says in verse 15. "Verily, surely, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he cannot enter therein." Now Jesus is indeed speaking about something of what it means and how we enter in, whether we are old or young. "Except we be like a little child." What does He mean? Is He saying somehow that when we think of little children, we hold them in our arms and they're so beautiful and so cuddly and so seeming innocent? He's saying you have to be like that? That's not what Jesus is saying. He knew what was in man. He knew what was in these children. He knew they were conceived and born in sin, as we all are. He knows we're not innocent children. Well, maybe Jesus is then saying we need to be like little children in humility. Sometimes when a stranger approaches to a child and he's by his mom, quickly the child runs and hides away. Seemingly humility, or perhaps even fear. Is Jesus trying to show these proud disciples that they must be humble, like children are humble, to enter into the kingdom of heaven? I don't think so. I don't believe that children by nature are humble at all. Think of the Old Testament. You have children there of Israel who are watching this prophet Elisha walk by, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head," mocking. They are not humble at an early age. Well, maybe Jesus is referring to being submissive, just like children are submissive. That's how we must receive the kingdom of God. But are children really submissive? Now, by nature, they're selfish. By nature, they want the things that they have, and they want to hold on, and they want things that they don't have. And if they don't get it, they begin to cry. So if Jesus meant something about becoming like children in regard to innocence or humility or submission or some other moral quality, there is none. There are none. Well, these children were being brought to Jesus. That gives us a clue as to what Jesus is also saying. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. How are these children being brought? Dependent. Children, when you see another animal in nature being born, like a pig or a even a calf or a colt. And some of the other animals perhaps you've witnessed, you see they almost within a few hours are up on their legs and they're walking around. There's no child I've ever seen who within days or weeks or months of being born that's walking. They are dependent entirely on others. And I believe one of the things for certain that Jesus is saying is this. If we would receive the kingdom of heaven, we must be as a little child who, in utter helplessness and dependency and hopelessness in ourselves, depend upon Him for everything. We have nothing to contribute to our salvation. We must come as helpless, needy, dependent children. Come to those upon whom they depend. And Jesus is saying, if we come like that, like a child who is weak and he cries in need to his father or mother, they realize how dependent they are. And Jesus says, He will hear us. He will not cast us out. He will save us. I was reminded as I was thinking about this, we as adults, when we grow up, we become less and less dependent on others. And we begin to assert ourselves and think we can take care of ourselves and do things ourselves. That's somewhat natural. But I was reminded of Peter. There he goes out into the water, walking on the water, and everything is fine until he begins to sink. And in this great need, he cries, Lord, save me. That is dependency that we're talking about here. And so children, and older ones too, this is how we need to come to Jesus. Looking to Him, depending on Him, trusting Him, praying to Him. He is the only one who can save, who can forgive, who can give you a heart to love Him and to hate sin. But I think there's one other characteristic that we could include here as well about children, especially when we think of children and trust that they have. When you take a little child, and for his parents who have shown him love and kindness, and they do not feel afraid and they have not misused the child. In every hurt, in every pain, they want to flee to mom and dad. And they trust mom and dad to help them. And this is the picture too, I believe, Jesus is setting before us. When you really consider children the love and care of God, He has given you and me so much. We ought to flee to Him and trust Him in everything. When you think of a little child and the dad is throwing him up in the air a little bit and catching him again, he has no sense really of the danger that faces him. He implicitly trusts his father. So we are saying, as children, we are called to trust in Him, to receive Him. And you know, to come to Jesus just as we are means that we also will believe that He will receive us when we come. Jesus did not push these children away. He has never chased one child from Him. And that's the encouragement that comes to us today, whether we are young or old. We are dependent in everything upon God. Without Him, we can't do anything. All we do is continue to sin. But when we see this view of Jesus, we ought to be encouraged to come just as we are. And that's the message that comes to us through this passage. Children, have you realized that Jesus indeed gives to us in the Scriptures many examples of children who at an early age have turned to Him? David, Timothy, so many others in the Scriptures? Do you believe, children, that Jesus is able and willing to save you even as a child? We don't need to wait till we get old. Are you staying away from Jesus? Are you hindered from coming to Him? Then turn to Him and depend upon Him and trust in Him to teach you and help you and instruct you. You can come to Jesus simply in prayer and tell Him what's in your hearts. Ask Him to save you, to forgive you. Confess your sins to Him. Confess you don't know how to pray. Confess you have need to be washed and cleansed in His blood. Parents, when you see some of these workings of God in the hearts of your children, what are you going to do? Going to be silent and just simply say, well, I'll pray. You may take the sit back and a wait approach to their questions. And maybe simply say, well, God can do it. Is that what you do when they come in from outside? And they say, Mom, I'm hungry. Do you send them to the kitchen and say, well, we'll see what's provided there? Or have you baked some goods? Do you open the can of tuna and help them to eat? Well, the same things are true. You can't give them salvation, but you can bring them to Jesus. You can teach them about Him from His Word. When we as children, as these children are brought to Jesus, will come to know Him and love Him, then our whole lives will change. We will desire more and more to hear of Him, the Lord Jesus, and want to serve Him alone and trust in Him each day again. And those who are older, the last point was our view of Jesus. What is your view of Him? Does your view of Him reflect what we are taught from this gospel? Or are we distorting by our words and by our actions what our children and grandchildren are supposed to see of Jesus? Amen.